for the community and the curious. This is your show, Shake, on Green 960.
From the epicenter of the gay universe, it's Shake, America's LGBT radio talk show. On the edge and all up in your wiggle room. Get ready for Shake. The information you need. Shake. The conversation you expect. San Francisco is Shake. 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 Shake.
Wow. What a night. And St. John is MIA. And I've said that before and I was always just joking, but tonight he really is. We have no idea what happened to him.
I don't know. Absolutely have no idea.
Well, a lot to do tonight. Mostly we're going to talk about religion and how we got here, or how we think we got here, or how others think we got here.
Is that why Kat is not here tonight? Because she's Michelle Meow is not here because she's afraid?
I think so. And she's a Buddhist. She's got nothing to be afraid of.
I know. I was listening. I was actually looking forward to her perspective on all of this.
Hey, before we get into that, what a week. We had Thanksgiving last weekend. We weren't here last week. Mm-hmm. We took the time to be with our friends and families. And I just had a great time. And I got a whole bunch of text messages all weekend long from some people I see all the time and some people that I don't see. Just little things about, you know, think, what do you have to be thankful for? You know, take a moment and think, what do you have to...
What do I have to? Oh my gosh, I have so much to be thankful for. And one of them is this radio show, because I had not done radio for so many years. And it really means a lot to me to be back on the air. It's just so much fun. And working with the whole crew means a lot too.
How about you?
Whatever.
Oh, please.
I'm in a pissy mood.
You are. You came in about 5 o'clock tonight and you've just been a grump all day.
I am in such a snit. And this is the show for me to be a snit in, because it has all... Like, why I'm in a snit has all to do with the show. I tell you.
As long as I've known you, you've always sort of been in a snit.
Yeah, kind of, huh?
Yeah, there was that one time at Disneyland. But anyway, lots going on, and we'll start with the gay news.
A Nebraska-based film company has released what it calls the first animated series featuring a family made up of two moms. Buddy G, My Two Moms and Me is about a 5-year-old boy named Buddy who loves science and solves daily problems with the help of an armband computer with internet capabilities named Socrates. The series was created by Margot and Donna Town Coley, who said it was inspired by the birth of their own son. Future episodes will include a variety of families, including those with two dads. Even though the series was designed for children with gay and lesbian parents, the Town Coleys say the show is a great entertainment for all families. From the Things We Cannot Make Up file, former Culture Club frontman Boy George was charged Thursday in London with false imprisonment of an escort. The 46-year-old singer and DJ, whose real name is George O'Dowd, was arrested in April at his East London home after allegedly chaining an unidentified 28-year-old man to the wall. He was released on bail with the condition that he doesn't contact the alleged victim. Boy didn't enter a plea and spoke at the brief hearing only to confirm his date of birth and real name. He is scheduled to appear again in court on February 25th. With news from an LGBT perspective every 30 minutes, I'm Scott Seamus on the Queer Channel Radio Network.
We're back.
Hello, David.
Can you believe that story about Boy George chaining a guy to the wall?
Does it just get weirder and weirder with him?
You know, the thing of it is, I love him. I love his music. I love his songwriting. I love the style of his delivery. He is just such a weird dude.
Yeah, you think people ever say that about us?
All the time.
And they're probably right.
I know.
A couple of things you're going to want to write down. You're going to want to have these handy, because I guarantee you, you're going to want to call in and be part of the show tonight. One of them is our 800 number, 866-365-4758. 866-365-4758. Keep that handy. Or if you're not the type that calls in, you can reach us by Yahoo Instant Messenger or AOL Instant Messenger, AIM. And that's Queer Channel 2007. And
yeah, all that kind of good stuff. Call us.
Call us or IM us, because you're going to have questions.
I mean, you know, you can definitely instant message us. I mean, a lot of people are afraid to pick up the phone and be on the air or give us a call. But, you know, we've got... our producer, Heidi, over there manning the instant messenger, and she's very friendly. She won't bite you or anything. I promise.
So tonight we're going to talk about religion, homosexuality, how the two can coexist or not so coexist. And
as well as what the Bible does and doesn't say about.
Exactly. So I'm David Williams. I'm sitting in for St. John tonight. And with me is
Cindy Hakley.
And you have really pretty eyes. I normally sit next to you every night, and tonight I'm sitting across from you, and I'm just looking. You have the brightest blue eyes.
Why, thank you, David. Why can't you be a really hot single female over there?
I was thinking the same thing. Why couldn't you be a hot single male?
You guys are making me sick.
We're going to start calling you Michelle.
I know. I'm. You know, because Michelle's not here. She had an airline misfortune.
Right.
I'm taking her place, so just call me Grump.
Bitch.
All that kind of good
and
stuff.
And my longtime bestest friend, Scott Seamus.
Mm.
How are the kids?
The kids are good. We went and saw, I took Brianna for her birthday, which was in September. Her present was to go see Kathy Griffin last night, so we went and saw
nice.
Kathy.
Oh, how fun. Hey, I saw August Rush.
Oh.
I did too.
I want to see that movie. It looks amazing.
Oh my God. Tearjerker, total chick flick.
I thought it was crap.
Really?
Yes.
I loved it.
I almost, my best friend Chris and I went and saw it together, and we looked at each other and I said, do you want to leave? And he said, yeah. And I said, no, let me give it till the end. Oh my God.
Loved it. Ugh. I went and saw it because I talked to you on Monday night. Monday night, you were going to see it, so I went to see it. Ugh. I loved it.
Well, it sounds like
he's a grump.
Well, it sounds like you guys had a lot more fun than I did. I was on the phone fighting with American Express for 2 hours.
Nice.
Yes, I was shopping for Christmas gifts online last night because I don't want to do them all. I was out there, made several charges. They called this morning and said, hey, there's like 4 or 5 charges on your credit card. Did you make them? And I said, yes. And they said, do you have your card with you? I said, yes. Went to the store this morning. Card was canceled for fraudulent activity.
I had that happen too. I used the card in Florida. And I also bought something online at the same time, which the place was in Canada. Mm-hmm. So cards used in Florida, cards used in Canada, they canceled my card.
3 business accounts and a 12-year American Express card holder, and I'm done.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah. And plus, it's not cheap.
I should have seen the movie.
Or not.
So we're talking about religion and gays in religion and how they can coexist or not so coexist. And on the phone with us is Dr. Michael Brown. And he works with the Focus on the Family. How are you doing tonight, Dr. Brown?
I'm here. Thank you.
So, what kind of a doctor are you?
PhD in Near Eastern Languages and Literatures from New York University.
So give us your thoughts on the church and homosexuality.
Sure. Well, I think on the one hand, there's some exaggerated pictures that each side has, the gay and lesbian community and the church community. By church community, I mean, the evangelical church that I'm part of. So you may have the impression that everybody is kind of a Fred Phelps fanatic, God hates fags type person. And then Christians may have the impression that your average gay person is, say, a member of the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, say. And you can have these exaggerated pictures on each side, and you end up kind of demonizing each other. So there's a divide on the one hand that's a lot bigger than is really there. On the other hand, there is a real issue, which is that as we seek to follow the Lord and honor the scriptures, we see that it does speak of homosexual practice as contrary to God's order, contrary to his ideal. So when you hear me say that, you may hear me saying that I'm saying God hates you or God rejects you. And so there's a reality, but then sometimes we're talking past each other. And I think what we have to do is say, okay, there are definitely differences, and I'm not making a personal moral judgment on you or saying that you're a terrible person. I'm simply saying that a homosexual orientation is not according to God's ideal in the scriptures, and that homosexual practice is sinful in his sight, just like many other practices are sinful in his sight. But can we talk together as human beings? Can we get past some of our differences and misunderstandings and be civil towards each other in the midst of our differences? And then reach out to each other with our different positions. But to talk past each other doesn't help, and to make believe there are no differences doesn't help.
Great point. But I have one question, because one of the things you just said was honor scriptures. And one of the things I've noticed is that Christians as a whole, and this is my observation, so I may or may not be right here, but Christians as a whole seem to take specific they take it's like a smorgasbord of religion, and they go down the Bible, and they're like, I'm gonna take this scripture, but I'm not gonna take this one or this one or this one, and so you know they sort of jump on the bandwagon of you know, homosexuality is wrong, but as I read through the Bible, it's really hard to, at least it's hard for me to pick out things that are really concrete evidence that homosexuality is wrong.
Well, you make a good point, and I would say that if there's such a thing as the average Christian, that they have not necessarily worked through exactly why they feel one passage applies and another. It's part of my field, biblical scholarship, so I could give you the whys and why nots. But there are two things. One is there's no question that many Christians have exaggerated homosexuality as if it's the worst of all sins, as if you sit next to a gay person, you're going to get AIDS, as if Jesus hung on the cross for all sins but that. And that's hurt the gay and lesbian community. And I've actually publicly apologized in Charlotte to the gay and lesbian community for insensitivities on the part of the church. On the other hand, if you do look at Scripture, for example, the famous passage in Leviticus 18 that speaks of homosexual practice, men lying with men as an abomination, that's in the context of universal moral prohibitions. In other words, this is not just a specific law given to Israel, like dietary laws or laws of hygiene. This was something that God said was universal for all people. So, for example, it also, in that passage, condemns incest, and it also, in that passage, condemns bestiality. And I know that may sound like an insulting thing to you. Again, I don't mean to speak in a way that's demeaning to you. But as I look at Scripture, there are certain things that are universally forbidden. Or in the New Testament, for example, there are things that Paul lists and says whoever practices these things, which include being a drunkard, which include being a person that's addicted to greed, a person that's a fornicator, an adulterer, someone in homosexual practice, that person won't enter the kingdom of God, but there's forgiveness and grace that can be offered to everyone through the blood of Jesus, and he can change everyone. I used to be shooting heroin at the age of 15, and I was transformed. So that's how we look at it. We're creating God's image, you and me equally. It's not a matter of heterosexuality or homosexuality. It's a matter of we all fall short, we all sin, and God in his grace makes a way for us to all come back to him.
1-866-365-4758 is our number, and our instant messenger, Yahoo.
And AIM, Queer Channel 2007.
Right. Cindy, you had a question?
Yes, Dr. Brown, it's Cindy Hagley. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm sure you will. I grew up in the Pentecostal church, and as I have understood, and I'm a lesbian, by the way, and a Christian, the way that I have understood the male-on-male rape that happens in the Bible is that it was basically a subservient position that, you know, the warriors, the soldiers would out there, if they dominated another group or another country, they would rape the men, and the majority of them being heterosexual, because it put them in a subservient position on the same lines as a female.
Well, again, in response to that, and I appreciate you asking if I would differ with that position. First, there's the basic violation of the order of creation. In other words, we see male-female distinctions as a beautiful thing, not as a negative thing. We don't see it as a binary constriction. We see it as a positive thing. And we see that as here's a man and woman come together in a love relationship, and through that relationship can now reproduce a unique byproduct of those two human beings, which no matter how much a lesbian couple or gay couple loves each other, they don't have that ability to reproduce that unique byproduct of who they are. So we see the male-female order as having a beauty to it and a purpose to it, and then there are things that violate that order. So, for example, for a man to have anal intercourse with another man, he's treating a man in a womanly way. There is a top and there is a bottom in this whole thing. Someone is going to have a masculine and a feminine position, whereas they're not made like that. So there's a violation of order that's listed there.
Stay with us. Our show continues. We're going to continue our discussion with Dr. Michael Brown. We're going to talk about my favorite love story in the Bible, Jonathan and David.
Last winter, I was homeless, sleeping in cold alleys and fishing for meals. Luckily, the Bay Area Rescue Mission came to my aid and helped me with shelter and food. But most importantly, they helped me get my life back on track. Now, I'm helping give back. The Bay Area Rescue Mission changes lives for a brighter tomorrow.
Your gift of $20, $50, or $100 will save a life. visit BayAreaRescue.org or call 888-343-FOOD. That's 888-343-FOOD.
Leo's Pro Audio, the serious place for audio gear, is now once again the place for Pro Audio guitars and basses. See hand-picked instrument selection at Leo's Grand Guitar Reopening Sale now until the end of November. Internet competitive prices available every day and extra special pricing during the entire month of November. Come to Leo's on Telegraph next to Highway 24 in Oakland. Visit leosaudio.com for more information. Leo's Pro Audio is a proud sponsor of Green 960.
Raise your hand if you know the name of one of the Bay Area's gay-friendliest car centers. Well, it's Weatherford BMW in Berkeley. And guess what? They will be represented at several LGBT events all year. And you may have a chance to win a new BMW from Weatherford for a whole year. Wow, you and your partner can shop for your next BMW with complete confidence. Weatherford BMW has lots of cars in stock. And did you know that at Weatherford BMW, you won't pay any maintenance costs? Not even a new windshield wiper for 4 years or 50,000 miles, whichever comes first? And their staff is smart, friendly, and welcomes your business. Weatherford BMW, a friend of the community, in Berkeley on Ashby, just off I-80 and close to everywhere. Weatherford BMW, one of the gay-friendliest car centers.
Special lease and financing offers available on the 2007 3 Series through BMW Financial Services.
Hi, we're back talking with Jennifer Ayers about the growing problem of caring for parents who live alone.
It's a tough situation. Often the kids are living in another city, or even if they're nearby, they can't be there, so they feel helpless and worried most of the time.
So what's the answer?
An emergency response service like LifePhone really helps.
How does LifePhone work?
Your loved one wears a waterproof pendant, and in an emergency, they just press the button.
Then what happens?
They're immediately connected with a LifePhone emergency care specialist.
You mean a real person answers?
A real trained person who knows their complete medical profile. They'll contact paramedics, fire department, police, a neighbor, and make sure that help arrives quickly.
LifePhone sounds like the perfect solution.
It really is. Call 1-800-900-1211 for a free brochure that shows how LifePhone can protect your loved one 24 hours a day.
Thanks, Jennifer. So, folks, if you're worried about a loved one who's living alone, call now for your free brochure about LifePhone. 1-800-900-1211. That's 1-800-900-1211.
What a show tonight. We're talking about gays and religion, homosexuals and religion, lesbians and religion, religion and homosexuals.
You know, I've got to say, Dr. Brown seems very tolerant.
What a nice guy, actually. I kind of enjoying the conversation with him. You can talk to us and you can ask questions of Dr. Brown yourself at 1-866-365-4758. That's 1-866-365-4758. Or you can reach us on Yahoo Instant Messenger or AIM at Queer Channel 2007. Dr. Brown, you still with us?
I'm here. Thank you.
So, David and Jonathan, I've always been fascinated by that story in the Bible. And they clearly had a deep relationship with each other, but nobody ever talks about them.
Well, I've heard them talked about often in Christian circles through the years as just a wonderful example of friendship. That I'm sure that each of you have same-sex friendships that are non-sexual, and we've always looked at this as a wonderful example of same-sex friendships. In fact, there are specific Hebrew words that have to do with sexuality and sexual acts, but not a one of them is ever used about David in the Bible. And he gets in trouble because of his lust for women, if you remember. But he had a tremendous love relationship with Jonathan. I think that's one of the things that troubles me, that it seems that the account can't be read by the gay and lesbian community outside of a sexual context. The fact that it says they kissed and embraced, that's a normal way of greeting people in the ancient Near East. You can go to around the world today, men greet each other, kissing each other on the cheeks. There's nothing sexual about it. I see it as a beautiful, wonderful relationship of deep covenant solidarity. I'm willing to die for you, my friend, but there's nothing sexual about it.
What about Ruth and Naomi?
Yeah, I mean, that's another one of these things. How about a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law? I mean, can't they have? Isn't there a close friendship? There's not a sexual thing in the Bible about it, except that they're both married and that Ruth marries again and has children. I mean, why must that be read in homosexual terms?
Dr. Brown, Scott Seamus here, and I just have to wonder from a church standpoint, why can't the church live and let live And if there is an afterlife, let it be sorted out then.
Well, in what way would you say that we're not living and letting live? So I understand your question.
Well, I guess, you know, if you look around the country and you look at the movements that are happening and you know, the conservative Christian right has kind of the corner on that market. And there seems to be an intrusion into giving people basic constitutional rights, giving people basic human care, all those kinds of things. And there always seems to be a religious or a church bend to that. And they always tend to bring up the Bible as a reinforcement of denying those rights. So if judgment is done by the quote unquote creator, let the creator judge, let the creator sort it out when we're all dead and gone.
Well, if there was something happening that you felt was immoral or unjust or hurtful in your community, with or without the Bible, you would want to see something happen to it. If there was some serial killer where I live in Charlotte, we wouldn't just leave it to the afterlife. Now, I'm not comparing a homosexual to a serial killer. I'm simply saying that there are things where we want to see justice done in this world. As far as live and let live, I'm not out to barge into your house and tell you that if you're living with a man that you care for, that you're not allowed to do that. That's not my right or my business. I can tell you if we're in conversation that I believe it's wrong and that God has a better way. But you have to understand, I feel the same way. I feel that there's an activist agenda driven by not all gay and lesbians, but by an activist part of the community that's coming my way, that's telling me what I can believe, that's telling me what my schools can teach, that's telling me what kind of marriages I can and can't accept and have to support by taxes. So I feel it's coming my way, and I'm responding to that in terms of action. And I think you have to step back and look at that there is a two-way street. What you consider to be fighting for your civil rights, and I understand your perspective, to me is now forcing something on me to recognize that's contrary to my core convictions and contrary to our history in America. So, again, I think the best thing we can do, though, is sit down and talk and at least get past the demonization of each other. And then we can at least hear each other out better, even if we still disagree.
But these civil rights that I speak of, if you were to go back in time and, you know, look at the African-American movement or any of those, these are the same types of civil rights that we talk about today. And these were the same civil rights denied and backed by religious organizations 50 or 60 years ago.
And let's say that it was people based on biblical convictions that fought against slavery and helped to overturn that. From Harriet Beecher Stowe's Uncle Tom Cabin and people like that. It was Martin Luther King and people from the church that helped overthrow segregation. I would do everything in my power to see you treated with dignity as a human being and to stop people from hating and attacking you. I would stand with you in a moment for that. But if you say that men should now be allowed to marry men and women, no, I differ with that. Just like you might differ with whether a man should be allowed to marry his grown son or whether a woman should be able to have three spouses. We all have certain lines that we draw, and we inform ourselves in various ways. I inform myself based on scripture and then based on reason, et cetera, and try to come to conclusions and live by them. I don't have the right to impose something on you as an individual, but I can certainly vote accordingly and support people that agree with the things that I agree with.
Dr. Brown, it's Cindy Hagley. You brought up a very interesting point about paying for, you know, your tax dollars going to support gay marriage or the gay agenda. You know, the homosexuals, we pay for the heterosexuals' children go to school. We don't have children. A lot of us don't. We pay, you know, I think we see the fallout from divorces and a lot of domestic abuse in the heterosexual relationships, just like the homosexual relationships, by the way. But I think our tax dollars are being spent just like yours, supporting things that we don't necessarily believe.
But is there anywhere where you would draw the line? I imagine, for example, that we both agree that pedophilia is wrong.
And once again, pedophilia relating to the homosexual community, everybody brings that up, and I just don't get it. Pedophilia is wrong.
Yeah, let me explain why. In other words, you say it's wrong for certain reasons. We agree on those reasons, okay? But I've read pedophiles saying, look, I was born this way. Look, you don't understand the beauty of man-boy love. Look, you're restricting human rights. Who are you to say what the age of consent should be, et cetera, et cetera. I think they're stupid, lousy arguments, and you do as well, but you draw the line at a certain point. Some of the gay and lesbian community believes in polyamory. Maybe most of it doesn't. I don't know if surveys have ever been done, but there's a line that's drawn there. And all I'm saying is that there is a fundamental order, male, female. Let's even step away from marriage for a minute. And
Dr. Brown, we'd like to have you stay with us for our next segment, but we need to go to a break right now. Stay with us as Shake Radio continues on the Queer Channel Radio Network.
A new poll of gay prospective voters shows that Senator Hillary Clinton has a huge lead over her other Democratic opponents for the party nomination. The Hunter Collard Survey is the first ever conducted by a university-based team of scholars with a nationally representative sample of lesbian, gay, and bisexual Americans. The poll found Clinton with 63% of LGB likely voters. She was followed by Senator Barack Obama with 22% and John Edwards with 7%. It also found that during the process of coming out, LGBs became more liberal and more engaged in the political process than the general population. The survey found that 9 in 10 gay and bi voters will likely vote in the Democratic primaries, and 21% say that lesbian and gay rights will be the most important issue influencing their vote in 2008. 72% of LGB likely voters consider Senator Clinton a supporter of gay rights, with Senator Obama at 52% and former Senator Edwards at 41%. On the Republican side, New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani was at 37%, followed by Senator John McCain at only 13%. From the Hooray for Straight Allies file, a judge has rejected a motion from the state of Wisconsin to dismiss a lawsuit challenging a constitutional amendment that bars same-sex marriage and blocks the state from recognizing civil unions. The amendment to the state constitution was passed last year by 59% of the voters. The lawsuit was filed in June by the University of Wisconsin political science instructor William McConkie. McConkie, who describes himself as a straight, Christian, married father of nine and grandfather of seven, says in the lawsuit that the question put to voters was illegal because it contained two questions, one regarding marriage and a second involving civil unions. Wisconsin law requires only one question be put to voters at a time. The lawsuit also claims that the amendment violates the Equal Protection Clause of the U.S. Constitution. The state asked Dane County Judge Richard Neese to dismiss the suit because McConkie suffered no harm and therefore did not have a legal standing to sue. But Neese accepted McConkie's argument that his rights as a voter could have been harmed by the way the question was put to voters. Without ruling on specific merits of the case itself, Neese said there was sufficient grounds for the case to proceed to trial. Quote, I believe there's a demonstrable injury to any voter who's required to vote on a question that is constitutionally defective. Neese said this in his written ruling this week. Quote, voting is the very bedrock, the very lifeblood of the democracy that we have. A trial date has not been set yet. With news from an LGBT perspective every 30 minutes, I'm Scott Semus on the Queer Channel Radio Network.
Shake Radio continues live from San Francisco. I'm David Williams sitting in for St. John tonight. And to my left is
Cindy Hagley.
And to my right,
Scott Semus.
We're talking tonight about religion and gays in religion and all of that that affects us or whatever. And on the phone with us is Dr. Michael Brown, who's somewhat of an expert on the Bible and homosexuality. Dr. Brown, I have a question for you. Do you know Gerald Mann? Dr. Gerald Mann, he's the pastor at the River Bend Church in Austin, Texas.
No, I don't. I certainly don't know him personally. I'm not sure if I've heard of his name.
Great guy. I used to watch him on TV every Sunday. One of the things that Dr. Mann said frequently was that Jesus never specifically had anything to say about homosexuality. And what he said was, if it was all that important, don't you think Jesus would have had something to say about it?
Well, of course, that argument cuts both ways. He didn't say anything about spousal abuse. He didn't say anything about child pornography. He didn't say anything about he didn't say anything about a host of subjects. Now, I will say this: he spoke out against divorce often, and the evangelical church has trashed a lot of that. So we've definitely blown it there. There are a lot of things he did speak against that we've not paid sufficient attention to. But I'd still differ with that statement for three reasons. First, Jesus said he didn't come to abolish what was written in the law, but to fulfill it. So if there are moral requirements in the law that were laid out, he certainly didn't come to remove them. And then secondly, he spoke of all kinds of sexual immoralities in the plural as coming out of our hearts and defiling us. And certainly to a Jewish audience of that day, that would include adultery just as much as it would include homosexual practice. And then thirdly, when he spoke about God's ideal, he said that God's order was he created male and female, and that's how it was at the beginning, and the two were supposed to come together. So the same reason that we shouldn't trivialize divorce, we also shouldn't trivialize the order of male-female sexuality. So I actually differ with that statement, but I would honestly say that all of us need to pay more attention to what he said because we're not living up to his standards often.
Dr. Brown, how do you explain homosexuality in the animal community?
Well, there are a lot of things in the animal community that are certainly not ideal.
But God created them. He created us.
Well, it's a fallen world. How do I explain the fact that some mothers eat their young or certain species where the female eats the male after sexual relations? And also, there are other studies about homosexual behavior in the animal world that says it has different dimensions, too. It has to do with superiority and other things. But let's just say that it was innate in animals. And let's just say, which I don't personally believe on the human level, that it's completely biological and innate. I mean, what does someone do that says, I have an obesity gene, which they think they've discovered? You try to lose weight. Someone else has a predisposition to violence. We still have laws against it. So the human race, as I understand Scripture, is created in God's image, and yet there's a fall. We're a fallen race. That's why we have to have laws. That's why we have all the problems we have in society. So we're created in God's image, but we're fallen, and that fallenness comes out in a host of different ways, but God can help us. And look, I know there's controversy about ex-gay therapies and all these things. I can only say that I have friends, people I've known for years, that say I was homosexual and I no longer am. They're not paid professionals. They don't work with any ministry. I know them. I have no reason to think they're lying. I'm not saying that it's easy for someone, and I do believe that sexual orientation is very complex, and it there's nature, there's nurture, there's the way we're raised just as much as genetics. There are a lot of things together. But if we're talking about God, God can help us. And if we're talking about the human race needs help in a thousand different ways. This
Dr. Brown,
one of them.
Dr. Brown, here's my question to you from what I'm hearing from you. I am a Christian. I live a good life. I help people. I tithe. And I bet you probably can't name 20 close friends that tithe. I do. And I feel that I am Christ-like. So you are telling me that my neighbor, well, not in my neighborhood, but, you know, a gentleman down the street could rape or kill 5 or 6 women, go to prison, repent, and then go to heaven. But because I have not apologized for something, you know, God has given me the ability to love this woman that I'm with. And I'm going to go to hell because of that?
Well, you have to answer between you and God, don't you? In other words, I'm not the
one. As do you.
Exactly. You're not my God. I'm not your God. I will say this. I differ with your reading of the Scriptures. As according to everything I understand, and look, I've revisited this out of compassion for the gay and lesbian community. I've tried to revisit, really understand their positions. I've got loads of books on queer theology and everything. I simply can't accept that is God's order. And if you came to the conclusion that God was not pleased with a lesbian relationship, even if he didn't change your desire, you would still have to say, okay, I'm going to turn away from that relationship. Just like a single person that's not married has to say, okay, I'm going to abstain until either God brings someone into my life or I die. I'm not saying these things are easy, nor am I your judge, but you're going to have to wrestle with that. I'm sure you have, but I just encourage you to look again at Romans 1 and see what's written there in 1 Corinthians 6 and consider the words of Jesus, consider the witness of Scripture, and then you have to stand or fall before God. I'm not your judge.
Dr. Brown. What's your position on civil unions?
I don't believe that we should recognize male-male relationships, female-female relationships, either same-sex marriages or civil unions, to be completely candid with you.
And what's the reasoning behind that? If it has nothing to do with the church, it has nothing to do with morality, and it simply has everything to do with granting people basic constitutional rights, what's the problem?
Well, the same problem I would have with granting that right to a father that wanted to live with his grown son and have that recognized as a civil union. I don't believe that.
Do you know of that? Anybody wanting to do that?
Oh, actually, there are cases now in court calling for incest to be legalized, various incestuous relationships based on the same civil rights arguments that are being used by the homosexual community. I mean, there's a well-known case in Germany where they actually quoted some of the cases in America. But my point is, what would be your answer to that person? You know, you have to say, well, we believe that incest is wrong or that's just not the right order. So, again, should you have the right to visit someone you care for in the hospital? Of course you should. But you don't need to legalize civil unions to do that. And look.
So let me put it to you this way. So if you're with your partner for 55 years and that person dies and they cannot inherit, you cannot inherit their estate because of that, that's okay with you?
Yeah, that's okay with me because you have to draw the line somewhere.
So wait a second. Hold on a second. I have a question for you here. So what you're saying is that you want to deny in the people in this country basic civil rights based on your religious beliefs, correct?
First thing, I'm not...
No, hold on. So you want to deny people in the United States basic civil rights based on your religious beliefs. Is that what you're saying?
Your religious beliefs. Not mine.
I'm a citizen, and I have the right to vote accordingly. And
that's correct, but hold on. Wait a second. What about separation of church and state?
Separation of church and state, if you study it in any reliable book, will tell you that it's to protect the church from the state, period. It was to protect the church from the power of the state so that the state could not enforce a religion on the church like they had in England.
So now what happens, though, is the opposite, is the church enforces its views on the state.
No, in point of fact, our Constitution and our laws, in large part, were based on biblical morality, and it's been seen to be great wisdom, this heritage.
What about religious? Hold on.
What about
Dr. Brown? What about religious freedom? There are people in this country, citizens of the United States, that have different religious beliefs than you do. Are they wrong?
That's between them and God, whether they're right or wrong. But my judgment here, I differ with Islam, but that Muslim has the freedom to practice his religion. He doesn't have the freedom to come and kill me, okay? I differ with the theology of gay Christians, but they have every right to hold services and preach what they want. But they're telling me I don't have the right to. You have groups like Soul Force going to Christian Bible colleges telling them you don't have the right to say that certain students should be in your school or shouldn't be in your school. You have a pastor arrested in Sweden for preaching from his pulpit saying that he believed homosexual practice was sinful. He got arrested for that. I see my freedom of religion being taken away. You're free to practice what you want, but back to the civil rights question. If you have a partner or whatever relationship and that person in their will wants you to inherit everything they have, more power to them. You don't need a civil union to do that. I don't see that as a basic civil right. Just like a man that's married does not have a civil right to marry someone else.
Dr. Brown, you had referenced Romans 1 and that particular passage. It talks about, you know, vile affections for even in, you know, women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. That particular passage, in my interpretation, deals with what is unnatural to those people that are being spoken to. It might be unnatural for them because they are heterosexual. It would not be unnatural if they were gay. And gays and lesbians existed back then. This isn't a new thing.
No, it's not a new thing, and it was universally rejected by the Jewish and Christian society of that day. I know the interpretation you're raising from Romans 1, but if you'll study it carefully, especially comparing the Greek language there to the Greek translation of Genesis 1, you'll see that the nature that Paul's talking about is the nature of the created order. And he specifically uses terms male and female, which are not the normal words that he uses, speaking about men and women. He specifically says male and female, talking about where it says in Genesis 1, God created us male and female. And look, again, I understand that it's very important in your own life you feel this is how God made you, and then you think the scriptures have been misinterpreted and we're just trying to hold people in captivity. I understand your position, and I just hope that you can hear that in differing with you, it doesn't mean that I hate you or reject you as a human being. But again, there is a real divide that's here, and I don't think we can get over that. We have deep convictions. The only thing we can do if we consider ourselves Christians is get on our knees and say, God, I just want to do what's right in your sight and please you. And for those that don't hold to the scriptures, I'm not forcing anyone to. I'm simply exercising my right as a citizen, just like a gay and lesbian person is going to exercise their right. And I base my moral views on what I find in scripture. Someone may come to other conclusions, and that's their right in this society.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. We certainly appreciate your point of view.
Actually, I want to say that I totally appreciate your ability, your willingness to be on the show with us. And I know that we were maybe a little bit abrasive, but I totally respect your opinion. And I wish you the best of luck in all that you do.
And I just want to say that while it may be unnatural for you to engage in homosexual behavior, it is unnatural for me to engage in heterosexual behavior.
I understand that, and I'm not holding me as the norm. I'm still holding Scripture as the norm. And listen, I appreciate you having me on, and I know you were doing your best to really give me a hearing, and I appreciate that. I appreciate your spirit and attitude in it.
Thank you very much, Dr. Michael Brown from Focus on the Family. Stay with us. Shake Radio continues. We'll be talking with Marcel Miranda from the Glide Memorial Church as we continue on Shake Radio. Shake Radio continues. I'm David Williams along with Cindy Hegley.
I have no mic. There it is. Great to be here.
It's right in front of you.
There it is.
And Scott Seamus.
Hello.
We're talking about gays and religion and all of that stuff. And what a heated debate, argument.
I thought he was an interesting gentleman. I still wanted to pummel him.
Yeah. Well, and again, we talked about this off the air as we went to commercial break. It's the lump factor. We're going to lump you homosexuals in with murders and rapists and
pedophiles.
You know why? Because they don't have the wherewithal to sort it all out. They don't have the, and you know, you look at people, and I hate to say this, but you look at people in churches, and they're sheep.
Yeah, my brother calls them sheeple.
And the
sheep and people.
The truth is, a friend of mine who's a minister in San Jose told me one, I said, you know, why are the churches just so, you know, bent on hating homosexualities and homosexuality? And David says, David, when you have a congregation, you have to align the congregation. The easiest way to align a congregation in a church is have them uniformly hate something. And homosexuals are about the best thing. Now, David, my friend David is gay. He says homosexuals are the easiest thing to align a congregation around hating.
Now, wouldn't you assume from a church standpoint that they would want to align a congregation around something good? Perhaps?
You'd sure think so, huh?
And, you know, to be honest with you, I think our next guest does the church that he's from does a very good job with this.
I think Glide Memorial Church is probably true Christians in every sense of the word.
I would agree.
With a great history.
Marcel Miranda, are you with us? I think he is. Marcel?
Hi, how are you?
Doing well tonight. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
So, you're the health promotion manager at Glide Memorial Church, is that right?
I am.
And yesterday was World AIDS Day.
Yes, it was.
What'd you guys do for World AIDS Day?
Well, you know, there was a lot going on in San Francisco, as there is every day, in terms of HIV prevention and awareness. There was a big health fair held in the Castro, and there were dozens of local service providers that were out and available to provide information and as well as HIV testing.
So where does Glide Memorial sort of plug into all of this?
Well, Glide has actually been one of the agencies that's been at the forefront of responding to a community's need during this epidemic. You know, long before it became even acceptable, Glide was talking about HIV and AIDS and was an oasis for folks that had been feeling marginalized and not properly served by a lot of faith-based organizations. You know, there was a great reluctance in the early days of the epidemic to talk about an issue which clearly had threads in sexual contact and risk, and some behaviors that there have often been difficulties for religious-based organizations to address those sorts of issues.
Marcel, it's Cindy Hegley. Now, I know that Glide actually started when Lizzie Glide purchased land back in, the late 20s to build this church. And you've actually, the church has been on the cutting edge of a lot of issues out there. And I know Cecil Williams has been a great leader on a number of different fronts, not just World AIDS, but I know reaching out to the poor and with all different kind of movements. Tell us about the history of the church.
Well, you're absolutely right. When Cecil Williams came to become the minister of Glide Memorial, it was absolutely a different time. And there was a different population that was being served. And it was it looked like, I think many of us would think, a traditional church might have looked in that day.
And wasn't it Cecil that actually ordered the cross removed?
Absolutely. I'm sure that you've heard, and it's a quite a powerful story, is that Glide is a place where, you know, when you look at a crucifix, a cross hanging in the church, Cecil was reminded that the crucifix is a symbol of pain and suffering, and the people that Cecil was ministering to, he believed that we didn't need reminders of pain and suffering. We had seen it. We have lived it, and that what we needed was a message of hope and acceptance. And as Cecil still says today, the people are the cross.
Which is an incredible line.
Absolutely.
Now, Billy Graham actually was a guest preaching at your church, correct?
I believe he was, yes.
Now, Marcel, how many folks annually would you say you guys help with your HIV/AIDS program?
Well, you know, the number of people we reach is I would put in the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. Just on HIV testing alone, we test around 500 people a year. Glide Health Services, as part of Glide Memorial, actually piloted rapid HIV testing in San Francisco in 2003.
That's awesome.
So we were right there on the cutting edge in terms of helping to pilot the model that everybody uses to provide rapid HIV testing.
When you look at the church's assistance or help to people with HIV and AIDS and testing and things like that, the one thing I think you have to keep in mind is that it's no different than the church's perspective on helping any of the people that they tend to help.
Well, we would hope that that would be the case. I think that that's what we look for when we're looking for a spiritual home. We want to feel comfortable, we want to feel acknowledged, and we'd like some level of empowerment to take control of the issues that are affecting our lives.
Marcel, if we have folks out there listening right now and they'd like to get a hold of you for some assistance, how can they do that?
You know, I'm at Glide Monday through Friday. I can be reached at, 674-5180. Or I'm easy enough to email at mmiranda@glide.org.
Very good. Marcel, thank you very much for being on our show tonight, and we truly appreciate all that you folks do over there.
You know, I'm really flattered that you would invite me. Thank you so much.
Coming up, we've got Mark Benjamin of Salon.com, so don't go away for that.
Yeah, that'll be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Shake Radio continues. We've got all kinds of things left coming up, and stay with us. Harrison on the Edge at the very end of our show tonight. All this is Shake Radio continues